One day, only the presence of God will sustain us. The criticisms of others about our afflictions don't mean a thing. Trials don't mean we're forsaken or don't have enough faith. They work to establish the fire of Christ in our souls until we know we can't be defeated and that He is a greater reality than our pain.
Thanks for joining us on Life Journeys, a podcast about thriving through the worst pain that life brings. With global initiatives threatening big changes to our way of life, we're going to need to activate Jesus' words about mountain-moving faith. Words That Work is the ongoing series on life journeys that is rooted in releasing revelational words of faith that will work every time and with everyone. It's about moving the mountains that keep us from the presence and goodness of God. It's about defining our life purpose and identity through encountering Him until we have the power to move the obstacles that are destroying our liberty and hope.
Many Christians have risen up in their heightened sense of justice, and they're fighting the wrong battle, one which they will lose. We really do need to get the beam out of our own eye, which is blocking our great personal need for the presence of God in our homes and our churches. Jesus said to lukewarm Christian churches, "Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock." God will create a desperation to find His grace until we're seeking for mercy in the presence of God like a drowning man seeking for a breath of air. Paul wrote that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For truly when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. God appointed the early church to afflictions and suffering tribulation. Paul was under the extreme assaults of a messenger of Satan, and he learned how to find the power of God. The churches that he ministered in would often accuse him of being a fraud because he was suffering so much, but his faith in the midst of his trials would be one of his greatest weapons. Most of his epistles were written from severe conditions in prison and in terrible beatings. He would write to the Thessalonians that we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. You see, the criticisms of others about your affliction don't mean a thing. Life with Him, with Christ, is much deeper than that. There's nothing like resting your soul and walking in the purposes of God for your existence on earth when you're bombarded with darkness. Paul would exult in knowing that his efforts were not in vain as he heard of this church's faith in the midst of their severe suffering. You see, we need to understand the context in which the New Testament was written. It was on a Christmas Eve as I sat by the fire in the garage. You heard the story. The sun had set and the winter wind was blowing outside. Suddenly, God's presence came down and His glory filled my heart like it hadn't in a very long time. I was so overcome by the manifest presence of God that I played the hymn, "How Great Thou Art," several times a day in worship for nearly 2 years, every single day. It was not that the greatness of the rendition of the song was capturing me, but the greatness of God's presence that inspired me to listen to what my heart sounded like. But previously, I had become desperate for the peace of God in the midst of many concerns about my own life. Things that I'd let slide, and new things that cropped up because of my losing my health and my pulpit and my business, was being searched, refined, chastened, and challenged. In the midst of it, I sought God diligently every day, week after week, month after month. Since that time, revelations of His glory developed into what I call a revelationship with the glory of God. But it took a deep season of refining, and since then I've learned this. In the coming days of our nation, Only the daily presence of God is going to sustain us. And it's going to begin with a desperation for Him. So I have this word from the Lord for America. The battle with immigration, gender identity, censorship of conservatives, the destruction of democracy and uprising of globalism, and all the rest of the battles are not God's call for us to merely fight this darkness. These are all symptoms, and we've got to stop just fighting the symptoms of the cancer without fighting the reason for the cancer. The neglect of God in our own homes and churches. If you're neglecting the pursuit of God, you are a part of the reason for the fall of America. God is not here to make America great again. As attractive as that sounds, He's here to bring us to the place where our daily lives are living the truth of how great God is. You can have a visitation of God in your home or your church, but it's going to take holiness and faith in God's love in the fire to turn it into a lifestyle habitation. God wants to build such a faith in you that your everyday reality is the life of Christ, instead of where you hurt, or what someone has said, or what you're going through, or what you're afraid of. When your emotions, your future expectations, and your thoughts are ruled by who Christ is in you, and when you own Jesus as your very own identity and life in the world, you'll come to grasp why letting go of every earthly treasure is the key to walking in faith. How's God going to sustain you when the four horsemen of the apocalypse ride and you realize that Jesus isn't coming back until the man of sin is revealed, according to Scripture? How does He sustain the church in great suffering? Know this. If you can't learn to find peace in the harsh realities of life today, you'll never make it in the day of the Lord. Wait, what? You see, if there's unforgiveness in your heart, and you're tolerating your enemies, both Christian and worldly, there will be little mercy for you beyond death's door. I know it's hard, but if there's a secret lust that you're not given to overcome, if there's fear there because fear indicates the presence of idols in your life, your eternity may not be secure. If you think that once you're saved that you can do whatever you want because you can't lose your salvation, know this. Hell is full of so-called believers who thought that they could never lose their salvation. Listen, God doesn't let you go through hard times because He's forsaken you, or simply because you don't have enough faith to rebuke the storm. He allows tribulation in order to establish the fire of the living Christ in your soul until you know that you can't be defeated. Your life is so established in who Christ is that your own life has been completely offered as a living sacrifice by the mercy of God. When Jesus is your identity over against every raging assault of the devil because you've established His presence as your presence, you will dwell in the valley of the shadow of death with no fear. Too many people boast about their great faith, yet they aren't living in the mental, emotional, or physical dungeons of this world. Show me a man who has great physical blessings and no apparent battles, and he doesn't walk with a limp, and I'll show you a man who hasn't found the depths of faith yet. Show me a man who is living in a barrage of physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional attacks, yet he has more peace than those around him, and I'll show you a man of God that breathes faith, peace, hope, and love. He knows how to love his enemy because he has been reduced to dust, and the presence of God is his greatest treasure. No one can rob him of anything because he has nothing that he holds tightly to in this world. That's a man of God who has been truly cleansed and surely become a man of peace. Paul said, "Everything that was gained to me I count as a loss for the excellency of knowing Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and consider it as dung that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. I've not attained this yet, but I press on for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Don't think that you're out of the will of God when everything seems to come crashing down. Faith will not remove every threat from your life, but it will remove the power that every threat has over your life until peace becomes your greatest witness and hope and your greatest weapon. Hard times are not from the voice of your judge and executioner. If you're one who wants his heart awakened by God, they're his invitation to come away with him, like the message of the Song of Solomon, until you can say from your heart, "This is my beloved, and this is my friend. I need nothing else. I have loved to be with him again." We may feel that all we need is more of the comfort of God and more faith to resist the attacks on our welfare, but God picks us up by the bootstraps and says, "Your great need is to get the world out of your life. I'm knocking at the door of your heart to come in and fellowship with you until you have revival." Desperation precedes the habitation of God. We've prayed for visitations, but he wants to turn them into habitations. One of the first ingredients is reestablishing the presence of God in our homes and churches. And it's through recognizing when God is refining and chastening us until we start getting fully right with him. Then he will pour out his Spirit and fill us daily with his presence. Lukewarmness is a predictor and a predecessor of desperation. When the heart is casual about holiness and allows us to church hop because we don't like something, or allows us to criticize and gossip, or allows us to obey God when we feel like it, or allows us to entertain ourselves daily with things that God is sending people to hell for, or allows us to neglect daily time with him, that heart is ripe for overpowering desperation by the mercy of God. Personally, I'm tired to death of Christians saying our nation's problem is diversity training, LGBTQ normalization, illegal immigration, conservative censorship, liberal government, Joe Biden, inflation, and transgenders in sports. We're not going to overthrow a spiritual root problem with activism, social media, or elections. Only a people sold out to God, walking in the power of his presence and letting him cleanse their souls until he manifests himself continually in our churches, will do it. Jesus is just standing at the door knocking as the storm comes near, and as the wind blows hard, he's seeking one more soul, one more that may accept his invitation.
You can unlock the presence of God in your life. There are revelation principles that remove the mountains, keeping us from joy, hope, peace, and purpose when our world gets turned upside down. Look for these words that work with Pastor Hartika as he shares what has helped him when life got hard. And don't forget to check out his book, The Fortress and the Firebrand, available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Thanks for listening to Life Journeys. Find new episodes every Wednesday and Saturday. And if you're new to this series, it begins with the September 16th episode.
One day, only the presence of God will sustain us. The criticisms of others about our afflictions don't mean a thing. Trials don't mean we're forsaken or don't have enough faith. They work to establish the fire of Christ in our souls until we know we can't be defeated and that he is a greater reality than our pain.